surely goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards each step of
when I walk through that dark, lonesome valley.
When I walk through that dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely his great hand will lead me to the mansions he's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness
and mercy
shall follow me all the days of my life.
On the course.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds us they're singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Last one.
And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day.
On that chorus, one last time.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day.
All right, our new Bible verse for this week is going to come out of the book of Psalms. Anybody that wants to sit down, still got room up here and over there, but I won't be long, so hang tight. Book of Psalms, chapter 51, Psalm 51. Now, when David wrote this, he was having a rough time in life at that time.
Oh my gosh, oh. That is a frog.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that thing was huge though. Thank you, Lord, for nature. All right, it's gonna come back to you.
No,
don't step on it. No, kill it. Kill it.
I don't care.
There you go. Look at Jay. Look at that man. Thank God for Jay. Graceful landing too. He landed it. Very good. No, he threw it. All right, so here we go. No, thank God that you're all right, Kenzie. I'm glad we still have you. All right, so Psalm 51, David was in trouble. He had sinned against God. He had sinned against Uriah the Hittite, and he sinned with Bathsheba. This is a rough time in his life. And he wanted to get back to God. He wanted to get back in fellowship. And, you know, anybody that's honest knows that they don't walk 100% of the time with God. They're not always in fellowship with him. And outside of this, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is 1 John 1:9. And I learned that. That was like one of the first verses we learned as kids. You know, either after we got a spanking or before we got one, whenever our mom would correct us, she would always throw out this verse. Now, remember, boys, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the older and older I got, the more I loved that thing, because it would help me out. You know, you break fellowship with God. You love him. You care about him. You don't want to have a bad relationship with him and everything, but you know how tough sin is in this fleshly body. Like the Bible says, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is oftentimes weak. And verses like 1 John 1:9 are the greatest verses in the Bible, because your worst day, once you quote that thing and once you claim that promise, can all of a sudden become your best day again, because fellowship is restored with God. Well, Psalm 51, verse number 10, is another verse just like that. And the questions that were going through my mind when I saw this verse was this. Number one, how do we get away from God? You know, what is it in our lives that takes us away from God? And I guess to dumb it down, the simplest thing is sin. Sin is what's against God. Sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So sin is just all those bad things that we shouldn't be doing. And then the second question is, why do we sin? Why do we sin? And the reason I like this verse is because when we do sin, this verse right here doesn't treat our symptoms. It doesn't talk about going and apologizing to someone else. It doesn't talk about the different sacrifices you need to bring to God and all that stuff like this. But what it does is it shows where David was at after he made a sin in his life. He committed adultery and murder. Those are two sins that the Bible says there was no payment for under the law. You're supposed to die when you committed those sins. Just one of them you were supposed to die for. He committed both of them. So he was supposed to die, be resurrected, then killed again. All right, let's check it out. The Bible says in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know what I love about God is God gets past the facade. God goes straight to where the issues of life really are. God goes right to what the essence of us truly is, and that's our heart. God deals with the soul. He deals with the heart. Now, why do I like that? Well, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible even says, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. You see, we can all make everything look really good in our lives to other men. You guys can come here, see me smiling at you, telling jokes with you, having fun, being upbeat and everything like that. But God looks past the show that I'm putting on. He goes right to my heart and says, yeah, but what's really going on, Zach? What's really happening in your life right now? And we only find out the truth when we go to the heart. And that's all God deals with is the heart, because all God deals with is the truth. And like I said, oftentimes we can put on this phony facade, this phony display, and we can present that to other people. And even other friends I'm looking at, I know that they're going through some tough stuff, and I know that they, you know, try to stand up and put on a good face and everything like that, but I know that in their heart something else is happening. And that's why I like how God deals with this verse right here. And this is why David said what he said. He didn't say, create in me a clean religion, Lord, and renew a right worship within me. He didn't say, Lord, help me to learn more Bible verses and to sing the hymns louder. He didn't say, Lord, give me the courage to say amen loud in the church when nobody is. No, he wasn't about the show. David was about what was truly going on with him. And he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Okay, so what's your heart? Guys, it's where your affection is. The heart holds your affection. It's what you live for. And the biggest thing that happens with me in this world is that what I'm living for oftentimes gets skewed. I start living for things that I should not be living for. One of the biggest things that's happening right now that I have to constantly fight day after day is when I hear the disinformation put out in the news, when I hear the contradictory of reports, when I hear the things that people are getting scared of about the coronavirus or what's happening with the riots in the streets or what's happening in politics and the world in general. It's so easy for me right now to get consumed with that news and say, well, I'm going to find out the truth about that. And then when I find out the truth and people bring that up, I'm going to tell them the truth, whether they ask me or not. It's such a volatile thing that's happening right now. You can be so polarized by what's happening once you turn on the news. You know, it's so easy. My affections get caught up in what's happening in the world right now. The media says, wear a mask to prevent the spread. But then I go and look at articles where scientists say, no, the particles of this virus are so much smaller than the mask, it won't stop it. The media says social distance to stop the spread. Then I go and look at science, and the articles once again talk about just sneezing itself can spread up to 30 feet. So what's 6 feet going to do? The media says stay indoors to isolate. But then the science says vitamin D3 from the sun is exactly what you need to build up your immune system to fight this thing. The media says this is the most devastating pandemic to ever face humanity. Then the CDC itself puts out an article that says 94% of the people that died from the coronavirus already had pre-existing conditions, taking the true death toll down to 10,000 from the virus alone. The media says only once a vaccine is made will we then be made safe, while not spending any time talking about what a human being can do to live a healthier life outside of those things. You see, my heart is naturally prone to go after that stuff. I like the debate. I like someone to throw out something that I have to go look up the truth behind it and then have that argument with them. But what it comes down to is this. Is that a clean heart? When my affections are on those things, are those things going to benefit me in eternity? Where the Bible says I should be laying up in store for the things to come? You know, when it comes to a clean heart, there's two things I want you guys to look at. When it says a clean heart, there's only three things that should be in your heart. There's only three things your affections should be on. And you have to decide what these are and be honest with yourself. Watch this. These three things are gold, silver, and precious stones. You say, so I need to go out and get chains and rings and big jewels and stuff? No, no, no. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Everything that we do in our lives will build up one of those three elements, or it will build up wood, hay, and stubble. So me spending that time researching, finding out the truth about those scientific things, you know what God's tapping on my shoulder saying? Son, that's great. You're a Christian. You know what? Absolutely, Lord. And you're all about the truth, right? Absolutely, Lord. I'm all about the truth. Okay, and I appreciate you looking up this stuff. And I know you got the Bible and, you know, you want to make sure that people don't get deceived with all this stuff. But son, are you doing that stuff for me? Why are you doing that? Is that going to build up gold, silver, and precious stones? Or is it going to build up wood, hay, and stubble? Gold. Finding out who God is. Now, I don't think it's going to be gold. Silver, the price of redemption that Jesus Christ paid for me. No, that's not going to help me with that. Precious stones, telling others about it. No, it's not a witnessing, it's not an evangelism thing. So make sure your heart's clean. Make sure there's no impurities in there. Don't put wood, hay, and stubble in your heart. It's okay to learn that stuff, but draw a fine line with it. Number two, the Bible says, creating me a clean heart. You know what that is? That means get rid of your backup heart. And what do I mean by that? Sometimes we have a double heart. Yeah, at church, while we're at youth group, while we're listening to Bob preach, while we're singing songs, absolutely 100% on fire for Jesus. Once we step out of here, our affections are somewhere else. That's a double heart. That's a backup heart. That's, oh, it's time to talk to God. It's time to play church. Let me put this heart on. Now that I'm out of here, I can get back to what I really care about. You know what the Bible says about that? It says over there in Psalm chapter 12, verse 2, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Over there in James chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts. There's a clean heart. Watch this. Ye double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. Until your heart's clean, until you only have the things that God cares about in it, and until you have a single heart for God, not one that goes back and forth. Here's the problem. Don't expect God to do something with you. And you're going to see that more than any time, probably in humanity's time or history. We've got to have a single heart for God so he can do something with us. The next thing says, and renew in me a right spirit. And renew in me a right spirit. Oftentimes it's so easy for my spirit to get connected to a spirit of rebellion right now, a spirit of retaliation, a spirit of skepticism, a spirit of debate, of pride, or even patriotism right now. But once again, that Bible comes back, and I know what the Bible says over in Psalms chapter 9. It says, don't forget, son, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. You know, that's the sad thing right there. Renewing me a right spirit. There's tons of spirits you can have. There's spirits that look great. They look awesome. Like I said, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. There's one spirit God wants you to have, and that's his spirit. He wants you to line up your spirit with his spirit. You say, well, Zach, what did that look like if I line up my spirit with God's? All right, it's a spirit that produces love. It's a spirit that produces joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. The Bible says, against such there is no law. God has no laws for these. You say, well, why is that? Well, number one, because he wants you to be able to move freely as a Christian. You've got something so valuable to this world, he can't afford for you to get polarized on one side of politics. You've got something so invaluable to everybody that's out there, he can't afford you to be offended by what another side thinks. So he gave you 9 things that would be proof that you're working off of his spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. If those things aren't being produced in your life, check your spirit. You're lined up to something that you shouldn't be lined up with. He doesn't want his spirit to be restrained by anything. As a matter of fact, the Bible says where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. No matter what's happening in this world, here's the deal right here. Let's say we do everything that the Republicans or the right side of the right wing side of the country wants to do. All right, we stop the riots. We put somebody in office that's gonna, you know, uphold our rights and stuff like that, and gonna make America great again and all that stuff. Okay, you still have to take your last breath someday. You haven't solved anything. All right, let's say we do the opposite thing. We do what the left wants us to do. We make a universal income pass to everyone. We look out for the oppressed. We look out for the person that looks like that feels like they're underprivileged or looked over in society and all that stuff. Like once again, you still have an appointment with death. What the Christian is supposed to be, temperance, you're not supposed to get too caught up in either one of those things, because your job is so important that your number one job you're focusing on is when those people take their last breaths. Folks, there's people dying on both sides. And how much do you think, you know, marching down the street picking them for a group is going to matter once you're in hell for all eternity? You know, some of those videos I saw this past week with kids, man, kids out there rioting in the streets and losing their lives over some of the stupidest things. One kid, 17, might be going to jail for the rest of his life, if not the death penalty. Other kids getting shot and killed because they're messed around. They tested somebody to the point to where they went too far. Now they're in hell forever. I can't imagine making a mistake like that. All the goofy things I did and God gave me grace on, and I got to go back and apologize to people and learn from my mistakes. These kids made one mistake and now they can't get out of where they're at forever. You've got something too valuable to get caught up on either one of those sides. And I understand it's easy to do it, especially when it seems like the truth is so obvious. But what God gave us, your salvation, the word of God, the truth that you have, that thing has been going strong since Jesus Christ was here. It's dealt with so many different things. That thing went through the time of the Roman Catholic Church being born and getting persecuted. That thing has made it through the Inquisition. That thing has made it through the Dark Ages and the bubonic plague. That thing has made it through so many persecutions. It's made it through the Crusades. It's made it through the Civil Rights Marches. It's made it through all the crazy stuff that man has had down throughout history. And it's always been there as an anchor, as a lighthouse for people to find refuge in. Are you going to keep it there for folks? Or will we polarize ourselves onto, you know, these separate sides and stuff like that? And I'm mostly preaching to myself here. But the Bible says, hey, You've got to ask God to create a clean heart in you and renew a right spirit. Probably on a daily basis, man. Yeah, that verse is great for sin. We mess up in our own personal sin, but even for our focus and our perspective. God, help my affections to be where they ought to be. Absolutely. I want to learn the truth. I want to get that stuff down and not be deceived by what's happening out there in the world. Yeah, I know the Antichrist is setting up the one world order, and you know, I can see these things happening with the United Nations and all this stuff. But God, hey, the reason you put me down here was not to fight against kingdoms. It was to go after souls. Like the Bible says, open thy mouth for the dumb. Open thy mouth and judge righteously. That's what God put us down here for. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Our jobs are too important to be reserved for one side. People are dying and going to hell. Truth is literally falling in the streets. Like the Bible says, in the last days, seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We're to be a lighthouse. And at the end of the day, we're asking God for a clean heart. We're asking God for the right spirit, because God doesn't use anybody that doesn't have a clean heart, and he won't use somebody that's got the wrong spirit. And more than anything, like, it hasn't happened yet, but at one point, I guarantee they're going to turn on Christians. Because the stuff that we believe is way too prejudiced. It's way too one-sided. And if we're not built up in the Bible, here's the point. If we're not close to God at that time, we're not going to make it. While they don't have their attention on us, while they're not focused on what we believe, while they're not coming after the church's hardcore, take this time to get built up. Take this time to get strong. Get ready for the day that's coming our way. This kind of ties back into our verse from last week. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And like Jesus said to his disciples before he died, for if the world hates you, remember that first it hated me. The servant's not greater than his master. But thank God that he'll be there with us when we go through it, and he'll give us the grace to get through it. If we have our hearts right, we've got the right spirit with us. So create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. All right, guys. Well, that's it. One major announcement. They're still doing this. So it's actually our month to be the ushers and to do the cleanup and all that stuff like that. So I think the main job that we need to focus on, everybody run downstairs, grab a wipe, and then wipe some hymnals. I don't know. I think that's all they're doing right now.
You guys do bathroom?
Yeah. I need some girls to jump in the bathroom, and I'll find some boys, and we'll jump in the bathroom. But in trash. So I say that. I'll do the bathrooms. Me and Jenny will do that, or we'll get some girl, or you'll figure out what you want to do with the girls' restroom. But I'll take care of the guys' restroom, but I need some guys to get the trash out, and then some of you girls just grab some Clorox wipes and hit those hymnals, I guess. We don't use them on Thursday nights, but...
Envelopes,
thank you, Greg. So envelopes on Thursday nights. So, yeah, we'll do that, and we'll be done. Cool. All right, Zeke, can you pray us out, and then we'll be done?
Yeah. Dear Lord, just thank you for today. Just thank you for everything you do for us. Just thank you for Zach's message today, and just adding...